from Russia, and I'm going to have him speak to us this morning. You need to be prayerful for Brother Sergey today and from now on. He lives 65 miles from Ukraine, and as you know from the news, that's a very dangerous place to be. Also, his visa to the United States is going to expire, and we may not be seeing him for a long time if that situation does not resolve. So he is in a place of danger, and we may not be able to see him in the future as much as we have in the past, though we're going to pray that God will fix that. He's asked me to read some verses to you that he would like to preach about. And I'll tell you one thing about my communication with Brother Sergey. I've been trying to communicate with him for several years. He's gotten much better at English. I'm very impressed with the progress he has made. But it has always been true that when we were discussing the Bible, we could communicate much more easily than we could if we were discussing other things. Over in the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, verse 9, God spoke of a day when he would turn to the people a pure language, where they could worship me with one consent. You know, the Russian language is very different from the English language, but there's one language we've got that is the same. Here's where we can communicate with each other. The language of God Almighty. When I've been with Brother Sergey, I've tried to explain American football to him, and he just doesn't get it. And I've tried to explain baseball to him, and he's just totally confused. But when we get to talking about the Word of God, we start clicking. We can speak the same language to each other. So I believe that you'll enjoy what he has to say, notwithstanding the language difficulties that there are. But he's asked me to read to you some verses in Luke chapter 23. All right, well, we want to do it just right. All right, so he says he'll have me read in just a moment. Come ahead. And here you...
This is necessary?
Well, if you'll stay close to that, yeah, it's not necessary. Okay. I'll tell you what.
God does not depend on man. Gospel of Matthew chapter 1, angels say to Mary, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He shall save his people. Not maybe, not probably, shall. If God won't save people, God save it, these people. Because God does not depend on man. Brother David, you can reading? Do you can reading Gospel of Luke, chapter 23? Yeah, I'm ready. If you're ready. Yeah, I'm ready too.
Yeah, I'm ready. All right, you want me to start with 32?
32 to 43.
To 43. Yes. Luke chapter 23. Verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now I have accomplished an amazing feat. I have read that without preaching on it, because I guarantee I was dying to preach. Incidentally, I just read about you. I just read your story right there. You're that thief. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
I think he starts preaching. Gospel of Luke chapter 23, we can see a picture of the crucifixions of Christ. There were three crosses on Golgotha. Yeah. Two thieves were condemned to die along with Christ. These two men were criminals. He was very, very bad person, very wicked person. And these thieves. He are receiving the just punishment from people. If we're reading Bible, we can see doctrine about total depravity. Everyone, son of Adam, sinner, wicked person, and rebel. All human race resist to God, against to God. Humanism and Armenian theology exalt to man, to person. Bible speak true. All people, if you're reading Ephesians chapter 2nd, verse 2-3, it's true pictures about us. We spiritual died, we sons of disobedience, we obedience to will of prince of this world, but we can't obedience to God, because or we have sinful nature. Two thieves on the cross. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. These two thieves will die very soon. If we're reading Gospel of Matthew chapter 27, 44, Gospel of Matthew 27, 44, the thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Both thieves reviled to Christ. Both thieves used bad word to Christ. Says bad word to Christ. Both thieves. If we read in Gospel of Luke, we can see one thief reviled to Christ, one thief, one thief stopped it and begin to defend Christ from the other thieves. Matthew 27:44, both thieves reviled Christ. Luke, one thief reviled. What happens? I believe between Gospel of Matthew 27:44 and Lucas 23, God generated these thieves. God gave to him new heart. God gave to him new spiritual life. God regenerated to him. Before Gospel of Luke, we can see big difference. In Luke says about two different behavior. One thief reviled, one thief defend Christ from other thieves. What happens? God regenerated these thieves. How did it happen? It's good questions. How he was regenerated by Holy Spirit? This thief did not hear a sermon from Jesus Christ. He did not see any miracles. There was no preachers, no soul winners. These thieves did not hear the choir singing, "Give your heart to Jesus." Not pray. This man did not pray a sinner's prayer. He not reading gospel tract. He not reading. How he was regenerated? By Holy Spirit. This text show to us one important doctrine: immediate Holy Spirit regenerations. Only the Holy Spirit gives life. This we call immediate and direct Holy Spirit regeneration. John 6:45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. This man, he don't receive new information about Jesus from other people. No. But he receive information about Jesus from Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit regenerated to him. Holy Spirit teach to him who is Jesus. Job 19:25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter days upon the earth. Job says about Redeemer. He says about Jesus. Who speak to Job about Jesus? I'm not sure Job was member of Church Primitive Baptist or not. But he knows who is Redeemer. And he believe in Redeemer. And he say, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter days upon the earth. Holy Spirit bring in our life eternal life. God give to us new heart, and God open our spiritual eyes and open our heart for truth. Holy Spirit give to us true faith in Jesus. Galatians chapter 5, Paul says, faith is a fruit of Holy Spirit. God give to this man, this wicked man, God give to him information about Jesus, who is Jesus, because Holy Spirit regenerated to him. Real faith, faith by God, faith from God, sees what others do not see. People who stay round cross, what they can see? These people who look to Jesus, look to thieves, these people see three cross, and they see three criminals who died very soon. Soldiers and Jewish spoke joke about Jesus. If you, King of Israel, come on the cross. Lot Jewish people says about Jesus, he liar. He false prophetess. He not our king. Our king is Caesar, our king, not Jesus. But these thieves, he see in Jesus real king who have kingdom. The people saw in the crucified Christ a deceiver and the criminals, but the thief saw a righteousness man, a God who alone can forgive sin. These thieves, what say these thieves? He say, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He see in Jesus true king, because Jesus, he is really king of the king and lord of the lords. Who say to thieves about Jesus? Holy Spirit teach to him. Not man, not preacher, not gospel. Holy Spirit bring new life for this thief. When the Holy Spirit regenerates us, he opens our eyes so that we can see our sin. He say, this man, this thief say, we have justice punishment. He said to other thieves, we have justice punishment, because he can see his sinful nature. And Holy Spirit opened his eyes. If Holy Spirit not open our eyes for my sins, I can't see my sins. I can see sins of other people. I can see sin my neighbors, or I can see sin Joe Biden. But when Holy Spirit open my spiritual eyes, I can see my sin, my personal sin, my wicked, sinful nature. And these thieves, he said, remember of me, Lord, when you go to your kingdom. Jesus is true king. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When Holy Spirit regenerated us, he gave to us new heart. He give to us a new heart, love to God. Before regenerations, we can love to God. We resist to God. After, we can love to God. Example, Acts of Apostles chapter 8. Eunuch, back home from Jerusalem, from temple. He reading book of Isaiah, and God sent to eunuch Philip. What Philip asked to eunuch? What questions Philip give to eunuch? You can't understand what you read? What he say? No. Interesting. If I'm beginning reading books, if I'm can't understanding these books, what I do? Close and move. And take another books. Eunuch reading book of Isaiah. He can't understanding, but he still reading this book. Why? His mind, he can't understand book of Isaiah, but his heart like reading word of God. This is born again. This is new heart from God. What Jesus say to these thieves? Jesus said to him, "Today shall thou be with me in paradise." Interesting. People who stay around cross, people who see to cross, he thinking, this is three person, very wicked person. Where he go? He go to hell. Because he have just punishment. But one thief, he was very bad person. He was a criminal. He was very wicked person. But he go to heaven. Jesus said to him, "Today shall thou be with me in paradise." Bad person go to heaven. How this can do? Wicked men have perfect righteousness. He wicked man, but he righteousness man too. He had righteousness of Christ. He have perfect righteousness. Why? Because Bible teach about imputed righteousness. God imputed our sin to Christ, and God imputed righteousness of Christ to us. This is great change. This is good news for us. I don't know about you, but I'm not excellent person. I'm not perfect man. But I know I will with Jesus, because Jesus give to me, God give to me righteousness of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he God hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. My personal righteousness, my human righteousness, it's very bad. I'm not like Joe Biden, but I'm bad too. You're not same Joe Biden, but you bad too. Maybe you good man, good husband, good person, but it's not enough righteousness for heaven. It's not satisfied. But righteousness of Christ, this is excellent, perfect righteousness. Romans 4:5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Righteousness of Christ, this is good news for us. And regeneration people like, love, listen about righteousness of Christ, because this is good news. God does not depend on man. These thieves, he will die very soon. This man, when he died, was a happy man, because he went to be with Jesus in paradise. Another thieves, what he say? If you, king of Israel, save thyself and us. Another thieves thinking about life on the earth. These thieves, very smart, he thinking about future. He thinking about heaven. He died, but he was a happy man because he wanted to be with Jesus in paradise. Psalms 65:4. Blessed is the man whom thou chosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. Cursed. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of the house of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Luke chapter 23, it's an excellent pictures, doctrines of immediate and direct Holy Spirit regenerations. This text showed to us God not depend on man. God does not depend on man. And this text teaching us about imputed righteousness in Jesus, about excellent righteousness of Christ. I don't know about my future. Maybe I can see more your face to face, but I know we will be meeting in paradise. We will be meeting in kingdom of God, because he is King of the King and Lord of the Lord, and he is great Savior. He is Almighty God. Pray for us, pray for my family, pray for other Russian brothers. Thank you for your donations. Yeah, thank you for your support. Thank you for your praise about us. I don't say goodbye. I'm say see you later. God bless you.
By the way, he made us a big pot of Russian borscht. And if you don't know what that is, then I'll explain it to you. If you eat it all, the first convert to Jesus Christ, the first believer, was a little baby within his mama's womb who leapt for joy because he was in the presence of Jesus, who was also in the womb and 6 months younger. Then we read the story of Jesus. The last convert before he left the world was a thief who was not reading a religious tract, not listening to a preacher, anything like this. He was obviously changed by the Holy Spirit of God working upon his heart. And that to me is a beautiful doctrine. It says that life comes from God. It comes directly from God. We are so thankful that there are things like belief and baptism and obedience that confirm that life, because I certainly wouldn't want to be in doubt about such things as this. But the beauty of the life is it comes from God, and in fact, that's where life always came from in the Bible. The very first man in the Bible, we were told his body was made from the dust of the ground. But that's not where he got his life. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And it would be that way from then on. So we have our life from the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm just going to take a few more minutes to tell you a little more about the Holy Spirit of God. And we do want to stop a few minutes earlier than usual today. When we get over into Acts chapter 2, you'll read there about the day that the church was empowered by the Holy Spirit. When Jesus ascended out of this world, he told his church to abide at Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Now that tells me about the necessity of that power on high. We need not even try if we're void of that power. Well, the Bible says there were only 120 disciples. Can you imagine that? After the spectacular ministry of Jesus, we've got only 120 believers. But the Holy Spirit is about to change this. So the Bible said they were all together in one place. And they heard the sound of a rushing mighty wind. Now you remember that Jesus compared the Holy Spirit to the wind. He said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." That's John chapter 3. You know, that's the part of John 3 that people don't read. They read the 16th verse, but I wish they would read all of it. They'd come away happier if they would read all of it, because they'd read about the power of God. So on this day, the wind hits this building in a very powerful form and degree, because they're going to receive an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the next thing you'll read is they saw tongues of fire landing upon each one of those. And the meaning of that is simple. God was putting fire in their mouths. They're going to have the Holy Spirit to go teach this gospel. And this 120 people are going to be the beginnings of the seeds for the world's greatest religion. And when these seeds have produced their fruit, this religion of Jesus Christ will be in every nation of the world, every kingdom of the world, every family of the world. That's power, isn't it? That's power. Just 120 people. And they're insignificant people. In fact, as the observers saw these people being blessed and seeing them speak in languages that everybody can understand, they said, "This can't be right. These people are just Galileans. You know, they're from West Jackson, where the faucets won't turn on and nobody's picking up the trash. These are just Galileans." Yet we do hear them in our own tongue speak the wonderful works of God. Before they're done, this wonderful gospel is going to be taught in all the kingdoms of the world. And we start with 120 out of one tribe. They're nearly all of the tribe of Judah. And you remember Jesus and his parable of the sower said some seed brings forth 30, some brings forth 60, but some brings forth 100, 100-fold. Well, if I multiply 100 by 120, I got 12,000, right? And then I do that to every tribe, and I would have 144,000. So that's a prelude for another sermon. That's a little bait to get you back. But here's the part we need to know the most this morning. We need God to put fire in our mouths. I hope there's some fire in my mouth, but I need more of it, and you need more of it. We need God to put fire in our mouths so that we can be a remnant, as they were, that can produce momentous and Christ-honoring changes in this world. Now, we've talked a lot about the Holy Spirit here this morning, but you haven't learned anything if you don't perceive His power. He's got power, but that's power that we need. May God put His fire in our mouths. All right, now, I want us to end our morning service with me calling on three to pray. And we're going to pray that, first of all, God will put fire in our mouths so that we can pray. And let's pray for Russia and Ukraine. We've got friends in both places. There are believers in Christ in both places, suffering in both places, under the leadership of idiots. They're good people. In fact, I've been to Russia 4 times. I felt more commonality with Russian Christians than any other people I've met in the world. So I want us to pray for Russia, Ukraine, God's people there, and the progress of the gospel there, and that a door will remain open for us to have fellowship with our Russian brethren. And I'll start this now, and I'll ask Brother Morgan, you pray after me. Brother Sergey, you pray after Brother Morgan, okay? You can pray in Russian. You sure can. We speak tongues around here. All right. Let's please bow. Our